Let's take our Bibles now and go to Proverbs chapter 1, please. Proverbs chapter 1. We'll launch from Proverbs chapter 1 and then go into the book of 1 Kings in just a moment, and we will return to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, and we'll read verses 1 down to verse number 7. And if you would, please, if you would stand for the reading of God's Word as we get started. If you would stand as we read Proverbs chapter 1. If you need a Bible, just lift up your hand, and we do have Bibles available if you would like one. Those Bibles can be yours to keep if you need one. Proverbs chapter 1 comes right after the book of Psalms. And I'll read, you follow along as I read chapter 1, verse number 1. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Let's go to the Lord one more time. Lord, thank you again for your word. We thank you for the freedom that we have to open it in a public fashion as an open meeting here as a church tonight. And we pray that it would accomplish what you've sent it to do, and Lord, that our hearts would be tender. May we not sit here and look around at everybody else thinking that they need to change. Change us, Lord. Help us not to leave this room tonight without being changed more for your glory. Thank you for being faithful, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Today is August 1st, the first day of August. And one tradition that I have, I don't do it because it's a tradition, but I read the book of Proverbs every month, and just simply by day. Once in a while, you'll miss out on the last proverb unless you read two of them in the last day. But there's 31 proverbs in this book, and it's just a great, great blessing to read through Proverbs 1 this morning, and then tomorrow will be Proverbs chapter 2. And I would encourage you to do that if you're not really doing much in your devotional time, your time where you're reading God's Word. I would encourage you, take the book of Proverbs and read one proverb. I'm not saying just one verse, but read that whole chapter. Proverbs chapter 1 was today. Proverbs chapter 2 will be tomorrow, and so on. You get the idea. It's a good way to remember the day. You get the calendar day at the beginning, and you hopefully can remember that throughout the day, what the date is. But I love to read the book of Proverbs. And when you read through the book of Proverbs, you can very quickly see that there are many different sayings or statements that really can just stand all by themselves. Now, we have to be careful when we read the Word of God and when we study the Word of God that we rightly divide the Word of truth. Far too many cults have been started because they've taken verses out of context, out of its surrounding passages, and caused it to mean something that God never intended it to mean. And so we have to be careful throughout most of Scripture that we don't just take one verse. The Bible says that we compare Scripture with Scripture, that we compare spiritual with spiritual, that we're careful to rightly divide God's Word of truth. But often in the book of Proverbs, you will find that one verse really does not relate to the next verse. Sometimes it does, but a lot of times it does not relate to that next verse. Proverbs is often written in such a fashion where we can understand it, often kind of in a comparison way, where we compare two things together in a way that we can understand. But the Bible tells us that Solomon spoke 3,000 proverbs, and we thank the Lord that those proverbs are recorded for us in God's Word. But I want to ask you, as you read through the book of Proverbs, you will see many repeated words, many repeated phrases. If you've spent much time in the book of Proverbs, there are many words that will stand out in the book of Proverbs when doing any kind of a study. Let me just ask you tonight, what words, when you think of Proverbs, shout out some words that you think have stood out to you as you have read the book of Proverbs? Just individual words that you can think of just right off the top of your head from the book of Proverbs. Wisdom, fear of the Lord, discretion, Selah, I think that's the book of Psalms. But it might be in Proverbs, I'm not sure. Knowledge, prudence, integrity. All right. There's lots more words in there. One that comes to mind for me is the word fool. It's not a positive word, but it's interesting if you take the book of Proverbs and you do a word study and just simply search out wise man or wisdom or foolish or simple or scorner, you can learn about these types of people. And hopefully you won't find yourself on the foolish side of the spectrum, but hopefully you can see possibly an area where you can add to the wisdom and knowledge that you already have. The word that rings clearly has been mentioned. The word that rings clearly throughout the book is wisdom. I believe Brother Ramon mentioned that. The word appears 54 times in this book, and that is not even including the other variations of it, such as wise or wisely or wiser. Clearly, we must realize that Solomon believed that wisdom is a vital part of our lives. In writing of Proverbs, Solomon would refer often to my son. Many times he would refer to the heart as well. We have for our theme verse this year is taken from Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 26. And he says, my son, give me thine heart. You see, Solomon knew the importance of gaining the heart of the listener. For if the listener or if the speaker or the writer does not gain the heart or the soil of the heart, the seed that is spoken, the seed that is sent out will fall on a ground that will not receive it and allow it to bring the fruit or the application that was being to be lived out. The reputation of Solomon early on in his life as a king was that of possessing true wisdom. As we look into the study of the introduction to the book of Proverbs tonight, I would like you to consider this thought. Ask yourself this question: do I have a heart of wisdom? Do I have a heart of wisdom? We begin this study by looking at the life of its writer, King Solomon, and when God gave him the wisdom. Let's go over to the book of 1 Kings now. 1 Kings chapter 3. Lord willing, we will return to the book of Proverbs. 1 Kings chapter 3. And we read in verse number 3, the Bible says, and Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3, and Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. Something that we look at tonight, first of all, and the first thought that we're going to look at is the request of Solomon. The request of Solomon. Underneath that, we look at Solomon's character at the time of his request. Verse number 3 tells us very clearly that Solomon loved the Lord. Solomon loved the Lord. Now, some of you in this room tonight are married. You have a spouse. Maybe your spouse is not here with you tonight, but you're married. And something that is vital to your relationship is this idea of love. If you do not love your spouse, marriage life becomes very difficult. Let me encourage you, if you are struggling in your marriage life, please seek help. Pastor Turner and his wife will be a great blessing to help. And let me encourage you, don't just hold it in. Far too many marriages have ended up in a wreck because people did not take care of the things that needed to be taken care of when they needed to be dealt with. And God will bring things to your mind, to your heart that need to be dealt with, and allow Him to deal with those things. But this idea of love, when we think about our relationship with the Lord, if you're here tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you do not have a relationship with God. You do not have a walk with God. nor will you be able to until you place your faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says that it's because of our sin that we fall short of God's glory. You see, when we understand how holy God is, that He is completely without sin, He cannot allow sin into His holy presence. And if you're here tonight without the Savior, please, I encourage you, seek more understanding of what Jesus did on the cross. We would love to take time after the service tonight and take you through the Scriptures and show you how you can be saved, how you can know that you will be in heaven for all of eternity. But here is this idea of love. When God sent His Son to this earth, His Son was the true manifestation of the love of God. The Bible says here in His love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation or the satisfier of God's wrath, the propitiation for our sins. God in His love, the Bible says, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is not a God that just enjoys judging and sending down His wrath upon the people of this earth, but God is a God that calls us to repentance, but God is a God of love. And the question is tonight, have you returned that love that God has given to you? You see, for a marriage to work, love has to go both ways. Love has to be returned to the spouse. For that marriage to continue to be honoring to the Lord, the love must be in return. And when God created Adam and Eve, He placed them in a garden that He had created perfectly for them. But in that garden, He made an option for them, a way to choose to obey God and to trust what He had given to them, to trust in His love and to confide in Him. He gave them an option to choose. And there was one thing they could not eat of, the fruit of that tree. For in eating of that fruit of that tree, the Bible says that they would surely die. And that truth has been ever so prevalent ever since that day that Adam and Eve chose to eat of that fruit. But the reality is, you say, why would God place a tree in a garden in a perfect place and say, don't eat of that, but everything else you can enjoy? Dear friends, tonight, that tree that stood there was an option for Adam and Eve to return to love in obedience to God as God placed them in that place of fellowship with Him. But the Bible tells us that Adam and Eve chose to disobey God. As a parent, it's difficult to watch your children disobey and then to have to discipline them and deal with the issue at hand. And sadly, what happened in Adam and Eve's life is there was placed at the entrance of that garden, as Adam and Eve were sent out of that place of fellowship with God, there was placed the two cherubims there with the flaming swords, really a place that brought separation from God and His holiness, because we now had sin that entered the world. And Romans 5:12 says, death by sin, for death hath passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And you can't sit here tonight and say, I am not a sinner, because it's clearly against the Word of God. The Bible clearly tells us that everyone has sinned, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I wonder, dear Christian, have you returned that love to God? It's far too easy to show our love for everything but God. But the Bible says clearly tonight that Solomon loved the Lord. You say, well, look through the pages of Scripture and see what he ended up. Yes, I know that God warned him that his heart would be turned away if he married those women that he brought into his life. And sure enough, he disobeyed God at that point. But we want to glean what we can through the life of this man in this moment of time. As the Bible says, his heart was right here as he loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father. The Bible says that he walked in his father's statutes. What are these statutes? These statutes are something that is appointed. It's a custom. It's a manner. It's an ordinance. It's something that is laid out to follow. A guideline that has been laid out to follow. You see, Solomon knew the way he needed to walk. If you're a parent tonight, do your children know the way that they need to walk? And I'm not saying just out of fear of being disciplined. It should be getting to a point where they're doing it out of, I want to obey God's word. You might be a grandparent tonight. Do your grandchildren know the way they need to walk? I'm thankful that my parents invested into my life to know how God wanted me to live. I'm so thankful for that. There's many in this room that do not have that testimony. You might be a first-generation Christian. Some of you are just a brand-new Christian. But may I encourage you to begin the future generations in your family, or possibly reaching out to your brothers and sisters and family that surrounds you and influencing them that the Bible is what we need to know how to please God, but how I can live here on earth, live in the midst of people that maybe don't like me so much, but I can live to honor God every day of my life. You see, Solomon knew how he needed to live because his father exemplified it. Dear men, dear ladies, adults, do you exemplify how a Christian ought to live? Do you exemplify how a child of God ought to live? Can somebody look at you and say, oh, that's what a Christian is like. I want to be a Christian. Or would they say, that's what a Christian is like. I don't want to have anything to do with that. What is your testimony? What is your example showing to the people around you? In verse number 4, we see that he sacrificed to the Lord. In verse 4, and the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon the altar. You see, at this time, they did not have the temple. The temple has not yet been built. Solomon would be used of God to see that temple brought up and would become the place of worship for God's people. But at this time, there was no temple. But Solomon was faithful in offering the sacrifices. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon the altar. I believe that Solomon took very seriously the worship of God, the obedience to the sacrifices that God had commanded them to give in this time. Solomon's character. Secondly, God's call to Solomon. God's call to Solomon. Verse number 5, it says, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. Can you imagine that? If God came to you and said, ask for whatever you want, and I'll give it to you. Look, we're not talking about rubbing a lamp and a magic genie comes out. We're talking about the God that spoke and the world was made. A God that could bring everything to your feet in a very moment of time if he desired to. But how much do we place our confidence and our trust in the promises that the Bible says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God says call, but how much do we call? How much do we take advantage of this call that God places upon our life? God wanted Solomon to make his request known to him. Matthew 6:8, it says, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. It's no surprise when you come to God and ask. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We obviously know that an all-knowing God does not need us to tell him what we need or want. Yet we must also know that our prayer life is a revealer of the genuine condition of our heart. A child that loves his father or mother will bring joy to his parents by seeking their help for something the parent already knows they need. We learn of the caring heart of our God when we seek his provision. God delights in answering and blessing those that are truly walking with him and seeking him. You say, how did Solomon get to have such a request from God here? We look at verse 3 and it says, Solomon loved the Lord and walked in the statutes. He walked in the way of God. He sacrificed to the Lord. He worshiped God. Could this be said about you in your life? You say, I don't even know why God won't answer my prayer. You say, is God even listening? Your friend, first of all, if there's sin in your life, you need to get it dealt with. As I said a week ago from Sunday, God will not bless a sin-filled life. It needs to be dealt with. Before revival can ever come, the sin has to be removed. Sin has to be repented of and be removed from our life. Revival will never come without it. The first thing that happens at revival is people are on their faces and sin is being confessed and brought before the Lord and being dealt with. Solomon was walking with God and God came to him. He said, Solomon, what do you want? Proverbs 28 and verse 5, it says, evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. Psalm 34 and verse number 10, it says, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." You see, God, our Father, He looks at us as His children, and He says, "I want to pour out my blessings upon your life. Would you seek me?" The Bible says, "If you will seek me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart." When's the last time you sought the Lord with your heart? We see Solomon's character at the time of request. We see God's call to Solomon. We see Solomon's recognition of his heritage. In verse number 6, "And Solomon said, Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day." Solomon says, "I have a goodly heritage. I have something great to look back to. And I thank the Lord that God worked in my father's heart, and he brought me to a point where I would desire to live for God myself." He gets to the point there at the end of verse number 6. He says, "Thou hast been kind." He says, "You've kept great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day." Generational blessings, not a generational curse. The generational blessings of God that would pour out on that next generation. I hope that you are burdened for the generations ahead of us here in this country of Canada. We are in serious trouble, dear Christians, if we do not do something to turn things around in our society with the power of the Word of God through the gospel message. We are in serious trouble. Our younger generation, let me ask the question, where are they? What are they doing? What are they up to? Is their mind on the things of the Lord? Are they in God's Word? One of the greatest things as a parent is to see your child following in the way you have led them to go when leading by the Word of God. Solomon recognizes his heritage. Solomon recognizes, though, his weakness. Verse number 7, it says, "And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a child, a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in." The pathway to greatness begins at the gate of humility. Admitting our weakness goes directly, though, against our natural prideful character. We won't take time to turn to it in Mark chapter 10, in verses 35 to verse 37. You see James and John coming to Jesus Christ and asking, the request is made, "Would you do whatever we ask you to do for us?" That's how they phrase it. And Christ says, "Well, what are you asking for?" And obviously he already knew their hearts, but what are you asking for? And they said, "Well, when we get to the kingdom, can we sit on the right hand and on your left hand there in your kingdom?" And we realize in that reading there a very prideful and selfish request to sit in a place of great prominence and power. The reality is, dear Christian, if you are going to be successful in your life and living for God, you must enter through that gate of humility. That's the difficult part. Many of us don't even want to bother turning the knob on that gate because it's difficult. But if I want God's blessings, I must be humbled. And if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you want to enjoy the blessings of heaven, you must humble yourself tonight and realize that you are a sinner. You cannot enter heaven as a sinner. But understand that God loved you so much that He sent His Son to die in your place. You will place your faith in that work that Christ did, not the works that you've done, but the work that Christ did on the cross. If you will place your faith in Him, the Bible says, "Call on the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved." The promise is there. The promise is real. The promise will come to pass if you will trust it and claim it. Solomon knew that his knowledge and wisdom was not sufficient for the task that lay before him. His experience was nothing when compared to what was going to be needed as king. He knew the people that he would be working with. These were God's chosen people. This was a great or vast group of people that he was going to be faced with. A great responsibility lay upon him to lead and guide these people. Please, parents, don't take it lightly, the position that you have, the responsibility that you have as a parent to train up a child in the way he should go. Don't take that lightly. Far too many parents just step aside and their children have their life and the parents have their life, and if they ever cross each other, it's not for very long. And there's not much involvement anymore with our technology. Oh, technology has been such a curse on our society. Not only are we separated in our homes, we're separated out in public places where people's faces are buried in their phones and have no idea what's going on around them. Parents, would you get involved in your children's lives? You say, my children are teenagers, they're college age. It's okay. Get involved in your children's lives. I'm thankful that my parents are still involved in my life. Don't ever stop being involved. Yes, there comes a time where you pull some of the restrictions off. Don't ever stop being involved in their lives. Allow God to use you to see children brought up in the admonition of the Lord. Great responsibility lay on Solomon to take this position of king from his father David, now ruling over the nation of Israel. Great task lay before him. Solomon knew, I am not worthy, I am not able to handle this. And then we see Solomon's request in verse number 9. He says, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. Or who is able to judge this so great people? You say, Solomon, God just said you could have whatever you want. And you ask for wisdom? You ask for an understanding heart? I mean, who can look at your understanding heart and say, wow, that's a nice understanding heart? But I mean, think about it. If you had a mansion, people could walk by and look at your mansion and say, wow, what a house that man lives in. Look at those cars. Look at the clothes he wears. Look at the friends that he has. You see, we think in the mindset of look at that. Let people see. Solomon asked for something that people could not see inside. And dear Christian, when we think about our theme this year, give him your heart, we are giving God something that you and I cannot see on somebody else. But you and yourself know your heart, and you know that God knows your heart. And God says, would you give me that heart? You see, at this moment of Solomon's life, God had his heart. And Solomon said, I want an understanding heart because I have a great task before me. Regardless of the responsibility that you feel, the position that you are in, you must seek God's help every day of your life to make right decisions, right choices. Solomon said, I want to be able to judge. This means to pass sentence, to vindicate, or to punish. He says, I want to be able to discern, to separate mentally, or distinguish. His request, the Bible tells us, that it pleased the Lord. Verse number 10. Let me ask you, when was the last time your prayer request pleased God? Do you ask by need or greed? What's your prayer life like? God, I want this. God, I want this. God, I want this. God, I want this. And God, I want this. And God, I want this. And you can write a song about it. God, I want this. You see, Solomon asked out of need. I need an understanding heart. We cannot survive in this world today without having God's wisdom. The pouring out of God's blessings came upon Solomon, verses 11 to verse 13. We won't read them, but you can look at them. He was given, in verse number 12, he was given an incomparable, wise, and understanding heart. He says, never will there be a king like you, Solomon. And then in verse number 13, he was given an incomparable amount of riches and honor. Solomon didn't even ask for those. And God blessed him with them. God says, because you haven't asked for riches, I'm giving you a bonus. You're going to be the richest man that's ever lived, that ever will live. You didn't even ask for that. You see, if you are faithful to humble yourself before the almighty hand of God, God will give you what you ask for, but God will give you far more. As the Bible says, above what we can ask or think. That's what God wants to pour out into our life. When God is put first truly in our hearts, his blessings will be far greater than what we could have received on our own. Someone once said about tithing that you will do better on the 90% that you have left with God's blessing than you would have done with the 100% without God's blessing. Do you want God's blessing? Be faithful in trusting him financially. Be faithful in trusting him when he comes to you. We're running out of time, but in 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 29, we learn of the extent of Solomon's wisdom and his greatness. In chapter 4, in verse number 29, it says, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt." Look, these were people that were known for their wisdom that he's speaking of here. "For he was wiser than all men," verse 32, "and he spake 3,000 proverbs," which we talked about in verse number 34, "and there came all of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth, which had heard of his wisdom." The Bible is filled, this is the Solomon that wrote the Proverbs. What was it that led to his greatness? We spoke of his humility, and I believe that was a huge part of it. But he also had a great desire to live God's way. To live God's way. Let me ask you tonight, do you know how to live God's way? Do you know how to live God's way? It is very evident at times that we know how to live the world's way. Far too evident that we know how to live the world's way. Sadly, social media has been something that is destroying our culture. Fashions and trends and all of that spread far faster than they ever have before. Television was only the beginning of it, and now we have things constantly around us to where we have to keep up to date with the latest trends and fashions and whatever it is. We know how to stay up to date, but do you know how to live God's way? The Bible says this is how you are to live. Walk ye in it. Live this way. Do you know? Do you know? You could say, well, you're supposed to wear these kind of pants. You're supposed to wear this kind of a shirt. You're supposed to comb your hair this way. You're supposed to say this. Look, that's not important. This is the most important thing in your life right now as a child of God, to know the book, to walk in the book, to live out what he wants us to live out. Let's get our minds out of this world and put them in the book that God has given to us. Far too many minds are lost in another book filled with faces. God says, get your face in this book. Do you know the Word of God? Do you have a heart that says, I want to please my Savior? I have two more points, which I'm sure will take a while to get through. We have, first of all, the request of Solomon. Very quickly, the reason for Proverbs. The Bible is filled with instruction on how to live. You could read 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17. Specifically, the book of Proverbs is filled with instruction on how to live God's way. As Solomon addresses his son, he writes and speaks from his heart. In Proverbs chapter 1, we see very quickly, if you'll return there, we see the introduction to Proverbs. We see the explanation of why Proverbs was written. What is the reason for Proverbs? In verse number 2, it says, to know wisdom. To know wisdom and instruction, to be skillful, to have the ability to apply knowledge properly. This word instruction has to do with chastisement, reproof, warning, or restraint. In a sense, really, it's setting up boundaries. Children, here are the instructions. This is what you have to live in this home. If you do not abide by these boundaries that we have set up, then you can go find another place to live. These are the instructions that we give in this home. You must abide by them. Secondly, we see to perceive the words of understanding, to perceive, to separate mentally, to distinguish. This is the same word that we found in 1 Kings chapter 3, where Solomon says, I want the ability to discern. It's the same exact Hebrew word. To perceive, to separate mentally, distinguish, to understand is to have knowledge. And verse number 3 is to receive the instruction of wisdom. Wisdom, to be circumspect, this is a different word than we find in verse number 2. To be circumspect, to be intelligent, to know how to prosper or be successful. And then he lists three areas what he wants to be successful in. We see underneath of that, to be successful in justice. Justice being the right and the natural or the laws of nature, the natural or the, and then the moral and the legal. To have knowledge of all three of these areas and know exactly how to live in all three of these areas. And then in judgment, a verdict being pronounced judicially. And then equity, evenness, or fairness. I say to you that this applies to us every day of our life. Then he says to give subtlety to the simple. Actually means trickery, but this is used in a good sense. It's craftiness. It also deals with prudence and discernment. the ability to apply wisdom into practice. The Bible goes on to say the young men's gain discretion, the ability to make a good decision and then act on it. Discretion makes a plan or intent. There are far too many people today, young people, that are stuck in a rut and cannot make a decision which way they're going to go. We've got far too many college-age young people in our society today that say, I don't have a clue. May I encourage you, get some discretion in your life. Get the ability to discern, to choose the right way, God's way. Do you have that ability? Solomon says, here's the reason that I've written the book of Proverbs. So you can gain this ability. Lastly, the results of wisdom, the results of wisdom. A wise man will hear, verse number 5. A wise man will hear. He understands that I have not attained it all. He will continue to listen. The Bible goes on to say he will increase learning. To increase, you must first realize that you do not have enough. To increase, you must seek the increase. There is much action or effort required on the part of the wise man. A man of understanding gains the ability to guide others. The Bible says that he attains unto wise counsels. You see, he gets to the point where he literally is able to guide, to counsel. The Bible actually refers to this word counsel. This word counsel also means steerage. As you steer a car, as you steer a boat, the ability to control it. You see, as you get wiser, as you get more knowledge from the Word of God, you should be coming to a point where you could pull somebody else aside and help them. The Bible speaks of the ability to teach others also. In Hebrews chapter 5, going into chapter 6, it speaks about the ability to get more than just the milk of the Word, that you could be teaching more people as well. But the sad reality was in that passage in the book of Hebrews, he says the problem is you've needed to be taught because you haven't grown, you haven't increased. Learning and understanding are needed to understand the depths of the wise sayings. It says to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Jesus spoke in parables. These were truths of God's kingdom brought to a level that mankind could comprehend. Yet Jesus would even go farther and give the explanation or the interpretation of his parables. Often we only scratch the surface of the teachings of the Word of God, of the truths of the Word of God, because we know very little. The Bible says that the spiritual things are spiritually discerned. If you do not recognize the voice of God's Spirit in your life, first of all, ask the Lord if there was a time that you placed your faith in Him. I trust you know Christ is your Savior tonight. You know that Holy Spirit. There is the grieving of the Spirit. There is the quenching of the Spirit where you cannot hear the Spirit of God. That means there's things that you need to deal with before you can hear the Spirit of God. You just scratch the surface of the Word of God, or do you dive into the depths of it? Let me encourage you, be a student of the Word of God. Be a student. We say, read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible. May I say to you, study the Bible, study the Bible. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that rightly divideth the word of truth. Get in the truth, learn it, understand it, memorize, apply it, live it out. He knows where wisdom begins. Verse number 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If a man does not truly fear God, he will never know true knowledge and wisdom. Respect, reverence. We cannot remove the aspect of fear as one would fear an authority. A child cannot live in respect of his father and act in direct rebellion against him. When fearing God, we know who God is and we know who we are. Our position ought to lead us to a humbled, servant, worship-filled reverence of God. Fear of God. And then we find lastly in verse number 7, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The comparison to the fool is that he will have no part in wisdom and instruction, or he will despise it. He will see it as being insignificant. It doesn't matter. The Bible, what does it mean to the guy out on the street? Look, it means a lot. The Bible says that in these things we find that we can have eternal life. God has written these things to us for that reason. The introduction to every speech is supposed to be designed to gain the reader's interest and attention. The reality is, especially today, that if you do not gain the attention of the listener in the first several seconds, that's our attention span today, they will not be involved in engaging in the speech that is going to be presented. In a movie, it is very important that you pay attention to the beginning of the film. Whenever we would sit down as a family, as a child, and we'd start talking at the beginning of a movie, my dad would say, "Be quiet! We have to listen to this first part, because the beginning of the movie is the most important part. What you get to know is the plot of the film. You get to know the main storyline. You will get some key information for the rest of the movie. You will be introduced to many of the main characters, the people that matter the most." Solomon lays it out very clearly at the beginning of Proverbs. He says, "You will only be helped if you want to be helped. For it is the wise man that grows wiser." If you do a study on the word fool in the book of Proverbs, you will learn that there is very little hope for him in moving away from that position of being a fool. Yes, the simple have the ability to gain wisdom, but really it is the wise man. If you look in the Word of God, in the book of Proverbs specifically, it is the wise man that gains wisdom, that becomes wiser, because he's wise enough to see that he needs to gain more wisdom. Where do you find yourself tonight? Do you long for wisdom? Or would you prefer to have the riches? James teaches us that we can ask of God for wisdom, and he will give it to us. I believe that one of our problems is that we are too concerned about gaining of the riches, and we have very little time to gain the knowledge and wisdom of the Word of God. How much effort are you willing to invest in gaining true wisdom? Ask God. He'll give it to you. Be a student of the Word of God. And you will gain a heart of wisdom. Dear Christians, we try to offer much in this church by way to educate us on the Word of God. But how often are we pushing it aside? I don't need that. I don't need that. I don't have time for that. I don't have money for that. I can't use that. That's not for me. We have all the excuses out there. But my friend, you will not grow until you take advantage of the wisdom that is presented to you. The Bible says a wise man will hear and will increase learning. You say, what does he need wisdom for? He's already wise. It's not sufficient. You see, Solomon humbled himself. He knew, I don't have what I need. Dear Christian, be honest with yourself and with God tonight. You do not have what it takes to live this life pleasing to God apart from this book right here. It's right here. How do I live God's way? Be a student of the Word of God. Let God give you a heart of wisdom. Let's pray.